Gear up, Dolphin fans, because it is about to be a wild offseason. Jake and Josh are piloting the ship as we prepare for a new era of Miami Dolphins football. If you don't already, follow them on Twitter at jmendel94 and at Houts. Help our community grow by hitting the subscribe button and leaving a review. We thank you all for the support. Now let's talk some football. What are we going to do without Miami Dolphins football? Well, the answer is pretty simple. We are going to talk about Miami Dolphins football. Welcome and thanks for joining us today. This is the Jake and Josh Show. I'm Jake Mendel. Joining me as he does each and every show is Josh Houts. And Josh, man, I'm coming to the quick realization of I have a lot more free time when the Miami Dolphins aren't playing football, man. It just seems like I have like 3 hours every day just in my back pocket because I'm not, you know, listening to press conferences or preparing for the week. It's just kind of, hey, I got a life now.
Enjoy it now, man. I was telling you before we came on here, in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a third daughter. So enjoy your life while you can, because once you have kids, that's all out the window. But Jake, it's a thrill to be able to come on here and talk about this Dolphins coaching search. And I don't know about you, man, but it just seems like it's the calm before the storm right now, that just any day, you know, news is going to break. We're going to find out who the Dolphins' favorite is in the clubhouse. But as of right now, we don't know a whole lot of anything.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably start to hear more as teams are eliminated from the playoffs. I think that's just kind of how the business goes, right? You're not going to hire someone while he's still chasing that Lombardi trophy. Josh, so before we get with the new, let's start with the old. And I want you to talk about this because I think this is such a weird way for the Brian Flores era to dissolve. I think that's one way to put it. It's just kind of like melting away at this point. Man, where did you get this report? Because I'm shocked even just reading it. Brian Flores didn't talk to his coaching staff at all after the bye week.
Yeah, what? I think that was Marcel Louis Jacques from ESPN that said that, or one of the legit beat writers, one of the guys that have been covering the Dolphins for, you know, 20 plus years. They reported this. So, I mean, that to me was just crazy because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if the timeline matches up, was that not like shortly after the trade deadline passed and that, you know, the fact that he was that all in on Deshaun Watson, that he just neglected everyone else in his fan base? I mean, you're already hearing the rumors. I think the New York Times might have confirmed it, but Brian Flores and Deshaun Watson have been in talks and they're trying to land at a spot together. So I have written down here, Flores did interview with the Houston Texans job. He also interviewed with the Chicago Bears. And interesting note, Dolphins GM, assistant GM Reggie McKenzie also interviewed for their vacant GM job there in Chicago. So could Reggie McKenzie and Brian Flores end up there? Jeff Ireland also had an interview. So I don't know, but I just thought it was completely crazy that, you know, we were sitting here, you know, not quite sure whose side to take. You know, Tua, we understand why Brian Flores had doubts, but, you know, now you're starting to hear these things. It's like, wow, man, Brian Flores truly sabotaged. I mean, he let this black cloud loom over this franchise. It destroyed the season and we're paying for it now. But crazy to me, man, that he's, you know, this close to Deshaun Watson and they're trying to end up in the same place together.
Man, and like, it just goes to show being able to build a relationship, being able to talk to people is just such an important part of life. And it's such an important part of operating a business. And it's such a, I guess, strange situation to be as a Dolphins fan where you have this relatively strong team. You had this relatively good coach and you got to sit here and kind of explain like, hey, like they were playing well, but I can't see them really getting any farther than they were. Hey, we got 9 wins. Hey, we got 10 wins. That's like barely being out of the hunt where we should be excited about it. But I think as we've sitting here, as we're watching the wild card weekend, man, I think we kind of understand what the Dolphins need to do. And before we get into these coaching candidates, I want to ask you, we were kind of looking at some of these names before wild card weekend. And you know, Dan Quinn is another name I don't think we have on here that has been rumored. I think he's interviewing with the team this week. Leslie Frazier, a couple defensive guys, but there's a lot of offensive guys here. Would you have soured on, should a wild card weekend impact how we perceive any of these coaches and any position group? Should that also adjust how we perceive how these weekends are going?
Probably not, but you know how we are, man. We're definitely going to.
Good point.
I mean, yep, you saw the Kellen Moore, well, is it that play call, the QB draw or whatever they call it there. They tried to rush down the field and snap, spike the ball and take a shot in the end zone. I mean, everyone was crucifying Kellen Moore for that decision. So it's just crazy how quickly, you know, the tables turned. So yeah, we're absolutely going to sit here and overreact over what some of these coordinators did this past weekend. But Jake, I'm going to ask you, I mean, we're sitting here talking about offense and defense. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but we've already done this defensive thing. I mean, we realize that this defense, I don't want to say is set, but if you bring a offensive minded head coach and they can bring in the right defensive staff, I think that defense is ready to go. So I don't know about you, man, but I'm looking over this list and all I keep seeing is offense, offense, offense.
Let's mostly spend today talking about the offensive guys. And Brian Daboll, that's the first one. A lot of the sports books have him as the favorite for the Miami Dolphins job. I'm sure he's the favorite for a lot of different jobs. And man, could you imagine that weekend if the Bills lost? If the Bills lost, then you have to go justify how good your offense is to Stephen Ross and Chris Greer the following day, because I believe he met with the Dolphins on Sunday. Same with Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator. But that didn't happen. We don't have to worry about that. That offense, man, went off. 7 drives, 7 touchdowns before kneeling out the rest of the clock. Man, what did you see out of him? This is the most peak possible flavor of the moment situation would be to see what Brian Daboll just did to the Patriots, all inside of the AFC East. That would be, I mean, Stephen Ross, that would that not be the situation to open up the checkbook and say, whatever you want, here you go?
It would. And then you think about, you know, how he had ties to Tua back at Alabama and, you know, everything there. So I absolutely understand why he's the favorite here. Jake, I don't know about you, but watching that game, the first thing I thought was, thank God the Dolphins didn't sneak into the playoffs, because they would have got their ass kicked, man. So I liked what we saw to that offense. I mean, you mentioned it. They just drove downfield at will. They could not be stopped. But I guess the question I would ask is this because of Josh Allen? I mean, how much of a Daboll offense has to work around a guy like a Josh Allen, an elite quarterback, which, let's be honest, the Dolphins do not have a Josh Allen. So that would be my only concern. But you're right, man. Right now, his stock is at an all-time high, and I think this will be the year he ends up ultimately getting a coaching gig. And we mentioned it. He's the favorite right now for the Miami Dolphins job.
Yeah, when he was the offensive coordinator before, we mentioned Reggie Bush and Brandon Marshall about how he was able to maximize the talent inside of his best players. But I did say I was concerned about getting everyone involved, being that, you know, blackjack dealer that we need Tua to be. On Sunday, man, Saturday, we had 5 different receivers with at least 36 rushing yards. Josh Allen was throwing the ball around, and Dawson Knox, tight end, led the way with 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. And if we're going to just talk about underutilized tight ends, man, I mean, Mike Gesicki, if you're going to tell me that's going to be what if you're going to sit here and tell me that Mike Gesicki can't do what Dawson Knox has done all season in that Bills deep offense, I mean, that kind of right there is a pretty interesting aspect for me. I know we all want to go quarterback, but I mean, that tight end situation, man, when have we had a coach who knows how to utilize tight ends outside of, you know, calling a timeout to keep your linebacker covering a tight end?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we thought Godsey could utilize tight ends, right? But I mean, that Dawson Knox line, that reminds me. I mean, maybe they could get the most out of Hunter Long here. So I don't know, man, but it's great point there with just what Daboll could do to this Dolphins offense. You mentioned the tight ends, and I immediately brought up Mike McDaniel. He looks like he's the second odds on favorite to get this job. A lot of Dolphins fans right now, I mean, are over the moon excited about this guy. But we talked about in the last podcast, George Kittle jokingly said that he wants to get Mike McDaniel's etched into his contract. That's just how much he means to that tight end room, how much he means to that offense. So, I mean, I don't know about you, man, but we saw those 49ers, they upset the Dallas Cowboys at Jerry World. Like you said, they averaged 4.4 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. And that to me is the biggest thing, Jake. I mean, we sat here and talked about how the Dolphins need a run game. I mean, that is what Mike McDaniel does best. I mean, we sit here and we talk about fantasy all the time. How often, you know, is there just some no-name running back in San Francisco that's getting 100 plus yards and a touchdown every week? So Mike McDaniel has the right system in place. He honestly would probably be my favorite right now based on the guys that Dolphins have lined up for an interview. But, you know, that could change any day, like you said, with the flavor of the moment. What were your thoughts, Jake? And what did you see out of that San Francisco 49ers offense that gave you some excitement? But again, we have to remember Kyle Shanahan's call and plays.
Yeah, I don't know if we should do a podcast together, because I'm right there with you. I don't know if this is great content that I'm going to 100% agree. I think that Mike McDaniel should be the odds on favorite. And the one stat that I think is the most interesting to what Mike McDaniel can do to this Dolphins franchise as it sits right now, Jimmy G averaged 6.9 yards per attempt, 172 yards, and he had an interception. He's dealing with a thumb injury, but I don't think Jimmy G has been all that great this year. I think that Tua's ceiling is going to be somewhere in terms of that player like Jimmy G is, just the accurate throws, the smart throwing. But Jimmy G does have those mistakes a couple times a game. And I mean, if someone wants to go back and look at how many times we said Tua threw a, you know, an interception right into a linebacker's gut, I mean, those plays happen. So I just kind of see, if we want to see that growth out of Tua, I just think that Mike McDaniel offense, that Kyle Shanahan offense, just fits the mold of the most successful situation to put Tua in. Elijah Mitchell, man, having the 96 yards, and then Deebo Samuel on top of that with 72 yards on the ground. And Mitchell played like 71% of snaps. I mean, if you go through wildcard weekend and look at each team, all of them had a trustworthy primary back that, you know, 70% of snaps, 80% of snaps. That's not only something the Dolphins are lacking, but the appeal of having someone like a Deebo Samuel who is going to, again, you're not going to just find a Deebo Samuel, right? But someone who is going to take advantage of mismatches any way possible. Not, you know, we have to get Jaylen Waddle out in a screen, even if it means it's in our own end zone. You know what I mean? He knows how to do that stuff the right way.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to sit here and say, you know, Deebo Samuel and Jaylen Waddle are similar players, because I mean, you can look at their builds and know that that's not true, but I would love to see, you know, a guy like McDaniel come in here and use Jaylen Waddle similar, you know, maybe use Lynn Bowden. I mean, I kind of forgot that Lynn Bowden's still around, man. I mean, They have some playmakers here that could, you know, be an asset in the run game and also do things in the passing game, whether it be those screens or some of those plays that we saw. So I liked what I saw to Mike McDaniel's offense, but again, it was not Kyle Shanahan's calling the play. So you do have to sit back and wonder, you know, How much control does he have? But I mean, if that's your only negative when you're looking at a guy, I mean, I don't know, man. Again, I think he is the odds-on favorite.
Moving on, Josh, we got Doug Peterson, who's probably just sipping Mai Tais somewhere. I think I'd be okay with it, because I think a lot of us would get excited once we look at the coaching staff he would bring with him. This is an experienced guy who knows how to win in the NFL, right? This guy's won a Super Bowl. I think that kind of fits what Stephen Ross is looking for in terms of that veteran. It's not a sexy name. It's not a flashy name. I would pick Mike McDaniel 10 times out of 10 over that. But with Doug Peterson, you completely see a direction for the team, and you know they're going to see it through, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that would, you know, make me want a Doug Peterson over maybe a Mike McDaniel or some of those other guys is just what kind of staff he could bring in here, because we know Doug Peterson could build a staff. You know, we've seen it. We see some of his coaches throughout the league. So that to me would be, I guess, why he'd be so enticing. And again, he was Dan Marino's backup, but probably sipping Mai Tais is a perfect way to say this, because as far as I know, the Dolphins have not interviewed or even requested an interview yet with Doug Peterson. But I don't know, Jake, do they even have to announce some of these interviews if these guys are, you know, on the shelf? I mean, I keep hearing Jim Caldwell's name out there. I mean, are these guys that the Dolphins could be meeting with behind the scenes? I don't know, but definitely Doug Peterson is an interesting name to watch. Another one, and we talked about in the last podcast, Byron Leftwich. I mean, this was a guy that Ben Albright reported the Dolphins, you know, rumored to have interest in him. We see what he's doing there in Tampa Bay. But again, I mean, how much of that is Bruce Arians? How much of that is, you know, Tom Brady? I mean, you got to give them credit there, but we see Byron Leftwich do it consistently. So I don't know, man. I continue to read down this list, and I mean, we're sticking with the offense, so maybe that's why all these names don't sound too bad. But again, I would be intrigued by what Byron Leftwich could bring to this Miami Dolphins team, but I don't know, man. He seems like he'd be a better fit there in Jacksonville. Send that man home. Let him turn that team around.
That would definitely be the right story in that situation. And the key here is, I think no matter what team you look at that you're trying to take a coordinator from, you can always say, well, was it X, Y, and Z? Because 10 times out of 10, they're coming from a good team. Good teams have good quarterbacks, good head coaches, good coaching staffs, right? So Byron Leftwich is that another example. You mentioned Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, both being in the building. And this is where Chris Greer and Stephen Ross have struggled, right? Adam Gase, well, he's with Peyton Manning. Well, he also just struggled with the Bears. How much did Joe Philbin really do with Aaron Rodgers? Clearly not a lot. You know, those are, I guess, a couple of different things where you have to see the, I guess, the concern of what the Dolphins are going into again, because we can have no faith that, you know, Stephen Ross, Chris Greer, the guys who are hiring this coach can identify where that line is of, hey, this person was responsible for X, Y, and Z, and that is what we're looking for in a coach.
Yeah, and then at that point, it's just like any job interview, right? I mean, I think someone mentioned Mike McCarthy lied during his Dallas Cowboys interview. So, I mean, then at that point, you're just sitting here, you know, yeah, sure, I'm the reason that this offense is running well. I mean, if I'm Byron Leftwich, I'm, you know, I'm saying all the right things. But Jake, definitely an interesting name there. Another one, Eric Bieniemy. And this is a guy who, back when the Dolphins were going after Brian Flores, I was a pretty big fan of. I mean, Right now it looks like DraftKings, and yes, they are a sponsor of SB Nation, so we are using them. They have him as the odds-on favorite. It looks like you have written down here, you practiced against Pittsburgh on Sunday. It took a while. It took a little bit for me to get that, but that's perfect, man. And, again, I guess my biggest concern with Bieniemy would be, you know, again, calling plays. I mean, for years, I've wanted to pick fruit from that Andy Reid coaching tree. Would love to see Eric Bieniemy. You know, what better name than a guy that's sitting there using that high octane, you know, responsible for some of that high octane Kansas City Chiefs offense. But again, I just have to ask, you know, well, what why hasn't he already got a head coach job? And is it because, you know, he isn't the one calling the plays? Because that, to me, from an outsider's perspective, is probably what's holding him back.
In terms of guys I think the team could hit the ground running with the most, I feel like Bieniemy is the perfect example of that. I think he's someone who would bring in the right defensive coach too. I'm not sure. I have nothing to back that up. I'm just going to kind of fire that one off into the galaxy and see if it sits. But yeah, man, that's 100% the key. The question here is, hey, how much of an impact are you having on the offense? I mean, it's just like with McDaniel. I mean, players have been raving about Bieniemy for such a long time where it's hard to ignore the success the Chiefs have had and whatnot. Josh, Kellen Moore, man, talk about a weekend that is just going to change everything you do. Dude, I didn't hate the idea of running the ball there. One, you have to know that the ref has to touch the ball. Like, those are the parts of the plays you also need to practice, right? Like, it's not as simple as just, you know, running this play. It's, all right, how do we get back and how do we get lined up? How are we going to communicate the plays? How are the refs going to get in my way and make me trip or whatever it may be? Those things are so important. And I think that's the biggest thing we loved about Brian Flores, right? Those little details. He loved to hit in on those. I mean, 7-game losing streaks, they weren't always successful. But when the Dolphins were rolling, it was always because of those little details. And I don't think we saw those enough under that Kellen Moore offense this season.
No, and especially not on Sunday. I mean, I think the biggest thing about that play is if it did work, I mean, would people not be praising him, you know, if they got down there and clocked that ball and then had a chance for a Hail Mary there? I mean, I guess I understand the mindset and the right and what he was thinking there, but I mean, you had Dak, man. You went out there and you pretty much lay an egg in the playoffs, and I guess that, again, is going to be what these teams remember. But 33 years old, I don't know if Kellen Moore will get a coaching gig this time around. I mean, we talked about in the last podcast, but what he's done to that Dallas Cowboys offense, at least since Jason Garrett left, has been, you know, at least a little bit of a breath of fresh air. But again, they just laid an egg in the playoffs, man. And I don't know what owner is going to look at that and say, you know what, I'd much rather have you over an Eric Bieniemy or a Mike McDaniel or some of these other guys after what we just saw. And again, he's only 33.
Exactly. Too. I do wonder how much of this is going to be just a conversation. I wonder how much of this is going to be how much of someone is an offensive line or Stephen Ross. Those guys are stuck on, hey, you need to be the right person to lead the organization, right? You don't know if they're going to be stuck on those recent burns or whatever it may be. Josh, we got four more here. Let's try to run through them because the odds for these guys aren't great, but you know, pipe dreams, it's the off season. This is what this time of the year is for. Jim Harbaugh, he's probably drinking milk somewhere. Long story short, I don't think I want him to be the coach. I don't see much of a future there. And in reality, man, I don't see Stephen Ross smiting one of his favorite things for the other. It just makes no sense.
Yeah, I got a little bit of heat yesterday because I said how upset I'd be if he let, you know, just sat back by the wayside and just watched Jim Harbaugh leave Michigan, his alma mater, go to the Raiders. I mean, that would make me upset, Jake, especially after he traveled cross country, you know, back in 2011. But I guess my biggest thing is you bring in a Jim Harbaugh. Part of me just wants him because I think, you know, 11 years ago, I was just so obsessed and, you know, in love with the idea of it. I thought he was going to be the next head coach of the Dolphins. But I mean, I guess what I would wonder is his heart there? And is this going to be a job where he just picks up and leaves after 4 or 5 years? You know, I mean, that's kind of been his whole MO. People mentioned the success or lack thereof he had at Michigan, but everywhere he's gone, man, he turns those programs around and has success. I mean, he almost won a Super Bowl with Kaepernick. So I love Jim Harbaugh. He will remain my pipe dream just because, again, I think a lot of it's just what I remember back in the day. But I don't think Jim Harbaugh will be the next head coach of the Miami Dolphins because, let's be honest, if you're bringing in Jim Harbaugh, you got to get rid of Chris Greer, and that doesn't seem to be happening. On to the next one, Jake. Todd Bowles. I don't know how you feel, man, but Eagles couldn't do anything against the Bucs. He had a pretty decent game, and I guess my thing is we all remember Todd Bowles here. I mean, is this not just a better, more refined version of Brian Flores, you know, with better people skills, coach, you know, might be able to bring in a better staff? I mean, that's all that would be to me. But again, when you look at this defense in place, you know, maybe that's what Chris Greer and Stephen Ross want. You know, we talked about Dan Quinn, and there aren't even odds here, but he does have an interview lined up later this week. I kind of talked myself into Dan Quinn a little bit when I spoke to other people, because you looked at that offense that he had there in Atlanta, and Mike McDaniel was a coordinator there. You know, he's built these decent staffs. So I guess that would be part of the lure there with Dan Quinn, but I think he's going to have his pick a litter with jobs, and I don't know if the Miami Dolphins job is going to be the right one for him.
This guy, Nathaniel Hackett, this is our full-blown Charlie talking about the mail here. This is he's the offensive coordinator for the Packers, right?
Yes, yes.
So, Nathaniel...
Joe Philbin, he's Joe Philbin, basically.
Nathaniel, I am scared you might be Joe Philbin Hackett. He was off this weekend. The Packers had the one seed. Man, this is it. Chris Greer being a pushover. We know that's out there. You bring in someone like Hackett. Does Hackett bring Rodgers with him? Does Rodgers bring Davante Adams with him? I don't know, man.
And that would that That makes my ears perk up a little bit. I'm sorry. I definitely sniped you there. I didn't even see you had the Joe Philbin joke underneath it. It was just the first thing I thought of. So I don't know how you feel about Hackett, but that's a name that, you know, I think he's starting to creep up even higher in the odds on favorite, but I don't even think the Dolphins have requested an interview there. So definitely something to keep an eye on, but you mentioned it, man. If you bring in a Green Bay Packer, you know, who knows what type of free agency they might try to lure.
Space, man.
Oh,
Rodgers can be the GM. He will be able to go somewhere and be the GM. You know, you see when Brady goes somewhere, hell, you see when LeBron in the NBA goes somewhere, they don't give a shit about draft picks, right? It's how much cap space we're bringing in X, Y, and Z, because they don't, you know, they don't Mickey Mouse it. They're going to come in, do their job, and win. So I guess that'd be the, you know, if you want to give Aaron Rodgers 80 mil to say, build your team, go win a Super Bowl in South Beach. Sure, dude. I'd rather do that than have Brock Osweiler and Adam Gase going at it again.
Yeah, nothing else has worked over the last 20 years. So, you know, why not just give Aaron Rodgers full control of the franchise? All jokes aside, though, Jake, the last guy on this list, offensive coordinator of the Rams, 36-year-old Kevin O'Connell. His odds are 16-1. And I think the biggest thing here, Jake, is that the Dolphins didn't even request an interview with him. It's Thomas Brown, the running back coach of the Los Angeles Rams, that the Dolphins reached out to. So, I mean, after what we saw that offense last night, I mean, again, you wonder how much of it Sean McVay, but dude, I mean, it seemed like they could just plug and play any running back into that system and good things would happen. So I don't know how much, you know, responsibilities Thomas Brown has, how much say he has in, you know, Cam Akers, Sony Michel, Daryl Henderson's success. But this is a guy who a lot of people around the league, at least some from reports, think is, you know, that next young offensive brilliant genius mind or whatever the hell you want to call it. So I'm intrigued by Thomas Brown, but I don't know much about Kevin O'Connell. What are your thoughts?
I think about you, Sony Michel, you mentioned it. Help Todd Gurley. You see how great a Sean McVay offense is when it has that bell cow running back and how important that is. And I think those are probably my favorite options for the upcoming coach is just those guys who can run that spread offense and run the ball so successfully. I think that is just so interesting. And I think that's such the right way to play. And Josh, I think if we keep going back to at that Miami defense, you know, the Cowboys offense was held to 17 points. It was the 49ers defense that won that game, but it was the 49ers run game that allowed the defense to win the game, right? So, I mean, it's not like you have to go and get in a shootout and put your defense in bad spots. I just think that having that power or that strong running game, I should say, would just synergize so well with the Miami Dolphins defense. I mean, you have to love what one of these, you know, Rams 49ers coaches would bring to the table in that aspect.
Absolutely. Let's be honest. I mean, we're doing it with Mike McDaniel. I mean, I've seen Tony Soprano talking about Brian DeBole on Reddit. I mean, when we as Dolphin fans, no matter who they bring in, are going to get excited and try to spin this in the most positive way possible. Oh, yeah. So, you know, if they bring in a Kevin O'Connell or a Thomas Brown, that is going to be why the Rams are having next success on offense. Yeah. Mike McDaniel, you know, Kyle Shanahan means nothing. It's Mike McDaniel that's so important to that offense. So, I mean, that's the way I am, Jake. I mean, I'm looking over this list. I don't know that there's any names on here other than, you know, maybe some of those defensive guys that truly make me say, oh, hell no, I want nothing to do with that. But I guess, I mean, do you want to give out your, I mean, I guess we both settled on Mike McDaniel. Is that the guy that we're kind of leaning towards? I mean, I personally still like Eric Bieniemy and kind of want to plant my flag in that just because I did a few years ago, but man, I mean, is there a guy on this list that right now is your clubhouse favorite?
I think I like McDaniel like you. I think that'd be a great favorite. I don't like to be one of these guys who gets caught up at the moment, but man, I think I'm completely off the Kellen Moore bandwagon despite, you know, starting that up, what, week 7, week 8, whatever it was.
Yeah. And I mean, at the time, I mean, that was a great name and he's eventually going to be a head coach in the NFL and he'll be a great offensive mind, but you're right, man. After that performance, I don't know how you could sit here and, you know, choose him over these other guys unless he goes out there and has the interview of his life and maybe he will. So yep. I don't know, man, we're going to learn a lot throughout this week and hopefully, you know, we start to hear more names surface because as of right now, I don't have the list in front of me, but I think there's 6 or 7 names that the Dolphins are interviewing. And honestly, some of them that we discussed on this podcast, they haven't even requested an interview with yet. So lots to come for the Miami Dolphins, man. Lots to come.
That is content, baby. And if you want more content from Josh and I, be sure to follow us on Twitter at HOTZ for Houts. I can be found at JMendel94. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're kicking off the new year. We're resetting the tag on our episodes. So, Josh, I think we're back down to starting at episode 1. Right.
Yeah. Is that official? Unless you want to wait till after the playoffs. It's up to you. I don't know if we hit our 100th episode yet. I really wanted to. Is this 99?
Let's
this
do it when the league year starts. Okay. Let's do it when the league year starts. Right. I think that'd be a nice, like, generic, like, oh, new year, new us type of things. And we can celebrate the new year 2 times over. But yeah, Josh, I think that's all we have. And thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you soon. And most importantly here, what we always say, fins up.
Fins up.
That was FinSider Radio, part of the FinSider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from gold. mystical like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Miami has a Dolphin, the greatest football team. We drink the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami.